This week, we've been examining Israel's construction of a multi-layered security barrier. Israel says it's aimed at preventing Palestinian terrorist attacks. President Bush has raised concerns about the route the barrier is taking. As currently envisaged, the route goes well beyond the 1967 border, known as the Green Line. It stretches deep into territory the Bush administration hopes will eventually be part of an independent Palestinian state.
Palestinians want the U.S. to use its influence with Israel to alter that route, but few observers believe the administration is prepared to put sufficient pressure on the Sharon government to change course. Our series concludes with this report from NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
The Bush administration's public reaction to the Israeli security barrier has been one of mild rebukes. Secretary of State Colin Powell, among others, has argued that it's understandable that Israel felt the need to put up a fence to protect itself from suicide bombings.
It's when the fence begins to intrude on land that is not on the Israeli side of the Green Line or starts to intrude in a way that makes it more difficult for us to make the case for a viable Palestinian state, then is it appropriate for us to say to our Israeli friends, look, we have a problem here.
Palestinians have warned the Bush administration that the structure subverts the goals of the roadmap, the U.S.-backed peace plan that foresees eventual Palestinian statehood. Edward Abington, who represents Palestinian interests in Washington, says Palestinians believe the barrier will render their state unviable, and they want the U.S. to act.
It creates a real dilemma for the president. There's no doubt about it. And if he backs off on this, he's going to lose a lot of credibility with the Palestinians.
So far, the administration has seemed reluctant to confront Israel, but administration officials have suggested that the Sharon government could face a financial penalty for those parts of the wall that are constructed inside territory occupied in the 1967 war. Specifically, these officials warn that Washington could deduct whatever amount Israel spends on those parts of the barrier from a $9 billion loan guarantee agreement with Israel. There is a precedent for this. Back in 1991, after the Gulf War, the first President Bush delayed a loan guarantee agreement meant to help Israel resettle Jews from the Soviet Union. He used the issue to pressure Israel to free settlement expansion in the West Bank and Gaza. At the time, the elder Bush very publicly took on Israel's right-wing government and the pro-Israel lobby here in the U.S.
We're up against a very strong and effective, sometimes, groups that go up to the Hill. I was heard today there were something like 1,000 lobbyists on the Hill working the other side of the question. We got one lonely little guy down here doing it.
The issue of Jewish settlements in the occupied territories has frequently prompted strains in the U.S.-Israeli relationship, but previous American attempts to force a halt to Israeli construction in the West Bank and Gaza have failed. In the late 70s, the Carter administration declared the settlements illegal. Mr. Carter focused in on the Jewish enclaves in the Sinai during talks on an Israeli peace accord with Egypt. William Quant, a professor at the University of Virginia, was on President Carter's national security staff.
It annoyed him because we were zeroing in on a peace agreement with Egypt and discovered that at the last minute, the Israeli settlements in Sinai loomed as a very, very big obstacle. Eventually, Begin did agree to relinquish those. And you probably know it was Sharon who actually went in and demolished them.
Although Israel agreed to abandon the Jewish enclaves in the Sinai before handing the peninsula back to Egypt, Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin would accept only a temporary freeze on settlement construction in the West Bank. And construction picked up again after President Reagan came to office and softened U.S. objections to the settlements. Sam Lewis, who was ambassador to Israel at the time, says the U.S. continued to warn Israel that settlements were an obstacle to peace, but the phrase illegal settlements was expunged from the diplomatic lexicon.
And we never really went back to it in subsequent administrations. We stuck to the argument that it's really causing great trouble for the peace negotiations and is an obstacle to the process and to peace itself. Now, people said that often over the years. Nobody ever put any really effective muscle behind it, ever.
A year after President Bush's father took a stand on the settlement issue, he made an arrangement with the new Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. Settlement building could continue, but the U.S. would not underwrite construction in the West Bank and Gaza. State Department officials say the same is true for the newly signed $9 billion loan guarantees for Israel. This administration has the option to decrease the package by the amount Israel spends on both settlement building and on building parts of the security barrier. But Scott Lisensky, a professor at Mount Holyoke who has written about the issue, says this checkbook diplomacy has not been an effective tool.
It sounds complicated, but what it amounts to is a bit of a cop-out. The Bush administration, on one hand, is pushing a very ambitious peace plan. And on the other hand, they're letting Israel move forward with an endeavor which really puts that entire peace plan at risk.
One State Department official admits that after floating the idea of reducing the loan guarantee package, the issue has retreated into the background. Bush administration officials seem to hope that simply raising the possibility publicly may have been enough to persuade Israel to slow down work on the security barrier, or at least take U.S. concerns about the route into consideration. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.